In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So in the Acts of the Apostles, we find Paul far away from home. He is on his second missionary journey, and he has been preaching in Thessalonica and Berea, and he's run into some trouble. There are some religious authorities in Thessalonica who really object to his preaching, and they are threatening him. They are so upset with him, they even follow him to the town of Berea, 50 miles away. And so Paul has to be taken away to Athens, 200 miles away, so that he can be safe. Now, this isn't in the text, but I can see that the people who brought Paul to Athens, leaving his companions behind to join him later, I can see that they might have said, Paul, keep a low profile. You know, people have been chasing you, just relax. But keeping a low profile is not in Paul's DNA. And Paul ends up teaching and preaching in the synagogues and in the marketplaces. And he walks around, and he is distressed by the number of idols he sees in the city. So he's teaching and preaching, and as usual, Paul attracts attention. Now, the Athenians loved new ideas. That was their one of their main desires. They loved debating. They loved hearing new things. So when they hear Paul's teaching, they say, this is new. And they invite him to come to the Areopagus. In your Bibles, some people will have it say the Mars Hill. Folks, you really need to mute yourself, because we get feedback. All right, thank you. Please mute yourself. So he's there in this place to debate the new teachings. All right, I think I took care of that. So, get my place back. So he's there in Areopagus. And so he starts out, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. And from there, he goes on to make the connection between the unknown God and the living God that Paul knows, the one who made the world and all that is in it, the one from whom we are offspring. Now, this is amazing, because when Paul arrived in the city, he is distressed with a number of idols. And yet, when he speaks of the Areopagus, he speaks from a place of openness and curiosity. Despite his distress with the idols, he kept looking and eventually found the one with the inscription to an unknown God. And to me, that's quite a feat, because when you see something that's disturbing or upsetting, your instinct is to turn away and not to look at it anymore. But Paul persisted. He kept looking. And in finding the unknown God, he is given something to talk to them about the God he knows, the living God. He doesn't say Jesus, but he talks about the one who is sent. And he talks about the resurrection of the dead. And the results? Well, they're a bit mixed. Some scoff at him. Others say, this is a new teaching. I'd like to hear more. But some believe. Some believe. And that stance that Paul shows us in our reading, that stance of openness and curiosity to others, even when we find their practices upsetting, I think is an important one for us to have, because it helps us love people as God asks us to love, as Jesus commands us to love in our gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, which are to love God and to love one another. How often does not having that stance of openness and curiosity get in the way of us loving others, or for others loving us, or for others even talking to us? I remember many years ago, I was a chaplain at Bowie State University, and I was sitting in my collar outside on the bench, just being available for anyone who wanted to talk. And a young man came up to me and he says, "You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior." I was like, okay. Didn't ask my name, didn't talk to me, nothing. And eventually, I think I did start talking to him and said, "Well, I do follow Jesus," and he left rather quickly. But the idea that he approached me making assumptions without even getting to know me, without being open to who I was and curious about what I believed, was upsetting. And I know many of you have experienced the same thing. But that openness and curiosity is what we want people to have with us. It's what God has for each one of us. What's getting in the way of us having it for others? Are there practices that others do that upset you and shut you off? Idols they worship that a stance of openness could bridge? And I was thinking of some examples. Now, say you have a neighbor, and you know the neighbor never, ever, ever goes to church. But then you start talking to them one day, and somehow you talk about God, and then you come to find out that that neighbor has a deep, deep prayer life, one that you would never have known about unless you had that openness to listen to them. Or a relative you are completely convinced was an atheist, had no interest in God and no belief in God. But over time, you started talking to them and began to hear that they were longing for God and wanting a faith community. They just had no idea how to get there. And here's a challenging one. Say the people outside your house who play really loud music and drive you crazy, and you assume that they are the most uncaring people, unaware people in the world. And you happen to start talking to them one day and then come to find out how stressful their life is. Maybe their parents are sick or their job is horrible, and that playing the loud music is the way they relieve it. It's still annoying, but that openness makes relationship, and that openness makes a path for you to see what's really happening. And that's what Paul showed us so beautifully. He was open and curious, even when he was distressed at the idol worship. And because of that openness and that curiosity, he was able to preach, and then there came to be believers in Jesus Christ. We too have the same call as Paul to go out, to share the good news of God in Jesus Christ, to share his love, to share how he supports us. And yet there is so much that gets in the way, because that stance of openness and curiosity is hard. It's what comes with loving others as ourselves. And it's something that takes time. It really is a practice and a process. And I began thinking about what gets in the way for me, what's upsetting to me, what leads me to condemn rather than to be open or curious. I began thinking that right now, especially as we begin to lift the quarantine slowly and opened up various businesses. There's something that's going to be very distressing for most, if not all of us. And that, I think, I'm assuming, is how other people are social distancing, or whether they're wearing their masks. Because it's upsetting. If you wear a mask, why is that person wearing a mask? What a terrible person that is. And it's almost the idol of, I'm right and they're wrong. Now you could well be right and they could well be wrong. But when it leads you to cutting yourself off from them or condemning them, we lose that stance of openness and curiosity. Now, I'm not saying to run over to the person without a mask and give them a big hug. No. Stay a safe distance away. But I'm asking to catch yourself and say, all right, they're not wearing a mask, but they're still God's child. And so I will do my best to remain open. If it's all I can do, I will pray. If I can have a conversation, safe distance away, maybe in talking to them, I'll find out more. Maybe they forgot their mask. Maybe they don't have a mask. Maybe they don't know really how masks work. And maybe your conversation could help them. Or, even better, maybe your conversation can help them come to know God. That's if they don't know God and if they don't know Jesus. And you can share how God has lifted you up during this time, each and every day. It's challenging. And believe me, I'm preaching to myself. And what's funny, last night I was walking the dogs, and what I do on Saturday nights is that I preach the sermon for Sunday as I walk the dogs. So I'm going along Water Street, preaching away to myself. And I see a woman without a mask. And I go, there it is, there she is. And I'm like, Anne-Marie, what are you preaching? Oh, okay. And then so I said, all right, she's on the other side of the street. We'll just say, all right, there she is. But I began to notice her. I began to notice that she was crying. I'm like, well, that's interesting. What should I do? Normally, I would just keep on going. But I paused and I prayed. And finally, I decided I was just going to approach her, not too closely, and say, ma'am, and I put my hand in my heart, I'm praying for you. And she nodded and she went off and I went off. I don't think I would have done that before if this sermon hadn't been in my head. And I think that's the invitation I hear in Paul's actions and his words in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. I hear him calling us to be open, to be curious about others, because they are God's people, and we are asked to love them. And yes, God's people drive us crazy. God's people can even hurt us. But we're asked to be open, because God has called us to love them. So my friends, as we go forth into another week of quarantines being lifted and people doing all sorts of things when it comes to social distancing and staying safe, stay curious, stay open. Have a conversation if you can. We don't know how God is calling us to share God's word. And without a stance of openness and curiosity, we may never get the chance. So go forth, be open, and see who God is calling you to love. Amen.